Hi, I'm Paul Kwiatkowski. I'm a senior developer on the Windows team.
And I'm Paul Gilday. I'm a program manager on the Windows animation team.
And welcome to our second talk on the new animation APIs that are going to be in Windows 7. In our last talk, we introduced just the very basics of the platform, and we demonstrated some of the things it can do. And in today's talk, it's going to be a deep dive where Paul is going to mostly show how one goes about adding animation behavior to an application. And he's going to actually walk through code in quite a bit of detail. I'll just start off by quickly reviewing some of the things we went through in the last video. This animation platform, the thing we have to focus on most is that it does not do any kind of graphics for you. The idea is that we are a interpolation and scheduling management service, and you're expected to use it with the graphics platform of your choice. That could be GDI, GDI Plus, the new Direct2D in Windows 7 is an excellent choice, or whatever else might work for your particular application. And it's we're focused on interactive animation. The UI really is our emphasis. We're not a physics engine. And another key thing is that we are a native C++ COM API. That was our mission from day one. And simply, there was no good API available. There was no API for animation in Windows native programming interface. And this animation platform, it's already going to be in use when Windows 7 ships in the Windows 7 taskbar and in Magnifier. But last time we also talked about the basic usage. An application has to do three main things to get animation up and running. They have to initialize some animation objects. So you create an animation manager, and then you create animation variables. Those are the quantities that you're going to be changing over time. You're going to set up in your rendering loop, you need to make sure that you update the animation manager each time, and that way it knows to update its internal state so that everything's interpolated to the correct time. And then you get the variable values, and you draw whatever you're going to draw. Those values might be interpreted as colors or positions or rotation. It's up to you. And then finally, once you have those two things in place, whenever you want to actually create an animation in response to, say, a user action on the keyboard or the mouse, then you just create a storyboard and you populate that storyboard with transitions and you schedule it, and we take care of the rest. So Paul's going to walk us now through a tutorial that goes through that in a lot more detail.
Thanks, Paul. All right, so for our animation tutorial, the goal of the tutorial was to add animation to an existing application and kind of demonstrate that it's straightforward and it's pretty easy to do. Specifically for our application, what it does is it loads and it displays a grid of images, and it allows the user to resize the window. And as that happens, the grid will recalculate the images to fit within the client area. So just to talk about some of the main components in this application is we have our main window, which essentially loads the images from a directory. It's in charge of initializing all of our Direct2D animation, layout, and thumbnail components. And this is essentially where the render loop happens for actually painting the application. Also, we have the layout manager, which, as the name entails, is that it pretty much calculates the layout and figures out how to lay out the images in the grid based on the size of the client area. And then the thumbnail class is essentially responsible for rendering each thumbnail of itself, and it basically is a container for the animation variables. So just to kind of give you a basic flow of how this application works, Essentially, the user is going to resize the window. And so on resize in the main window class, the layout manager, we're going to tell the layout manager to lay out the client area. And so inside of the layout manager, this is where most of the animation is going to happen. We're going to create our storyboard. And then for each thumbnail that we have to grid, we're going to create transitions for each of its X and Y position variable, animation variables. We're going to add those transitions to a storyboard, and then we're going to schedule that storyboard. And then the render loop kicks in, and we're going to, in the main window, render the client area, which essentially updates the animation manager so that we can get a progression of animations over time. And then for each thumbnail, we tell it to render itself. And then we do a simple check to see if the animation manager is still running. And then we invalidate ourselves, thus throwing another paint message. And so we get this continuous loop of rendering the screen. And so what I'm going to do now is we're going to jump over into some code, and I can show you how to set all this up. All right, so we're in Visual Studio. So as I said before, we have our layout manager, our main window, our thumbnail, and we have a manager event handler. We'll get to that later. The other Paul's gonna explain a little bit about that. So first thing we need to do inside of the main window is we need to essentially initialize animation for it to happen. But before we do that, basically I will show you what the application looks like now without any animation. So here we have a grid of images, and as I resize the window here, we get this snapping sensation for regridding the window. And so essentially when we're done, we're going to have some nice fluid animations when you resize the window. So back in the main window .h file, we're going to essentially declare some ATL smart pointers for our animation manager, our transition library, and our timer. So once we have those guys declared, we're going to run over to our main window CPP. And head over to our initialize function for the main window. And so essentially we're going to create the manager, the transition library, and our timer. So let me just uncomment those real quick. All right. So let's see. What we need to do, so as we have our objects created here, inside of our render function, we need to essentially move animations over time. And what we do there is every time that the render function is called, we get a snapshot of the time from our animation timer, and then we'll assign that, or we'll update our manager with that current time. So let me just jump over to render, and that guy is right here. So here we're just getting the current time, and we're updating our manager. And so essentially, that's going to move animations in the manager. Also, what we're doing here is we're invalidating ourselves so that we're going to get our continuous render loop. So we just need to make sure that that was there. What we're going to do now is we're going to jump over to our thumbnail object, and we need to create X and Y variables for its position. So essentially, with our animation framework, you need to create an animation variable for every UI property that you wish to manipulate. So in this case, we're just manipulating the X and Y coordinates of each thumbnail. And so each thumbnail is going to essentially be a container for that animation variable. So let's just uncomment these guys. And then we're going to change, oh, we need a a pointer for the manager that we're going to pass in. And also, what we need to do is change the thumbnail prototype so that we can pass in a pointer to the manager. So once we have that, let's go to the thumbnail CPP and enable our manager here. And then we will assign it to our member variable. And then next, what we're going to do is we're going to create our animation variables with the passed in X and Y coordinate. All right, so now, essentially, our thumbnail is going to have animation variables contained in itself. And so what we're going to do is we're going to jump over back to the main window, and we're going to jump specifically into the find images function, which essentially goes to disk and it pulls thumbnails from the thumbnail cache and creates a bitmap. And then what we do is we pass that bitmap to the thumbnail so it knows how to render it. And then also we pass it its X and Y value. And so what we need to do is we need to pass in our handle to the animation manager that we set up in our initialize function. So now that each thumbnail should be able to create a variable for itself. So speaking of thumbnail, let's go back to thumbnail, and we need to change two kind of accessor functions that we have. So right now we just kind of return the local X and Y of the thumbnail. So what we need to do is we need to actually return the animated value so that when in our render function, it actually gets the animated value instead of just the static value. And so that's pretty simple. We'll just do that right here. And so we'll do this both for the X value and the Y value. And so what I'll do here is I'll jump down to the render, and so this is essentially where we're calling to get the animated value. So I put it in an accessor function just so that it was a little bit cleaner in this, so that you didn't have that big chunk of code. So now that we have our main window kind of set up and we have our thumbnail set up, we want to set up our layout manager so that our layout manager can essentially have animation as well. So let me pull this guy up. And so what we're going to need to do is change the constructor so that it will have pointers to a manager, the transition library, and the timer, which we created in our main window CPP file. Also, we're going to need member variables for each of those pointers. And then let me go to the constructor here. And let me just assign those incoming pointers to our member variables. Great. So now all of the animation components should be accessible in the layout manager. Since the main window is responsible for initializing all the components, we have to jump back to the find images function and change our layout manager so that it has references to each of our animation components. All right, so that should all be connected and passed in. So now what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on the laying out of our thumbnails, and that's back in the layout manager. First thing we kind of want to look at is the arrange in rows function. So what this essentially does is this is going to create our storyboard and then it's going to call another helper function that just arranges one row of our thumbnails, and then that's where we're going to add in our transitions and our variables, and then once coming out of that, we'll schedule the storyboard, and we'll be good to go. So first, let me just make sure I'm in the right spot here. Yep. All right. So what we're going to do essentially is, this is where kind of the simplicity of animation comes. So we're going to essentially create a storyboard. And so we do that by uncommenting this guy. So we ask the manager, we say create storyboard. And then we're going to actually kind of go past a lot of this stuff here. And then we're going to make sure that we schedule this storyboard. Because essentially what we're going to do is we're going to pass that into our, we're going to pass the storyboard into our helper function and basically add the transitions to it in that function. So what I'm going to do to help support that is in our layoutmanager.h file is we're going to change the prototype for a range row so that it will allow a pointer to a storyboard. And then we're going to go back to our CPP file, and we have two calls to it. So here's our first call. We'll pass in our newly created storyboard. And then for our last call here, we will pass that guy in. And so now, if we scroll down just a little bit, here's our arrange in row. We'll change the prototype so that the storyboard comes through. And so essentially what we're doing here is we are looking at each thumbnail, and I'm just going to unblock this section right here, and I'll talk to it. All right. So essentially, we create our transitions specifically for our animation variables for each thumbnail. So in this case, we're creating a accelerate-decelerate transition for our X and Y position. So it's the same thing. And I just have some constants here. We're going to show what happens when you use different parameters and when you use different transition types, and you can get different animations. So once we've created those transitions, we're going to add it to the storyboard that we created in the arrange in rows function. And so here, essentially what we're doing is we're adding the transition with the animation variable that's contained within each thumbnail. And so we do that for each thumbnail in a specific row, and then we'll construct those rows as we go down. And so that's there. And we'll save that guy. And let's see. Make sure I got everything done. I think we're all set. So I think we're ready to compile this thing and see the preview. So we'll do that, and we'll let this baby compile. So now the application's compiled. Let's just run it and see what this guy looks like. All right, so right away, you saw the thumbnails actually animated right in. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to give this guy just a little bit of a resize, and you can see the nice fluid changes we get when we regrid this application. Also, it's really nice when you use the new Windows docking features. You can really see the change from just the static snapping to an animated regrid. So that's really cool. So we've successfully demonstrated how to add animation to an existing application, and it was pretty straightforward. All right, so now what we're going to do is we're going to bring Paul back on, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about performance.
Okay, well, why don't you bring up Task Manager here, and we can look at the current performance. So right now, even though we have nothing happening in this little PhotoGrid app, we're actually still using quite a bit of the CPU. And the reason for that is, so far, Paul has just showed you how to do the real basics for adding animation. But in practice, there's another step you're going to want to do, which is to shut off your render loop when there's actually nothing left to animate. So let's go back into the code then.
Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go back into main window, and specifically we're going to look at the initialize function, and we're going to register a manager event handler, and also we're going to augment the render function so that we can query the animation manager when it's actually animating something, and when it's not, we will stop generating the invalidates. So here is we're going to actually register our manager event handler.
Okay, so the manager event handler is a COM object that the application is going to implement. And the key thing is that it has to implement this interface IUI animation manager event handler, which is a mouthful but very descriptive of what it does. And the application is typically going to want to initialize this with some parameter so that it can give the application some sort of kick when there's something to animate, and that'll start the whole rendering and validation process up again. And so in our case, we're just initializing it with, we're passing in our cWindow object, and then when this method on manager state is changed, is called by the system, then we call invalidate on the window, and that's enough. We're back into our rendering loop. So flipping back into the main window code here, all we're doing is we're creating an instance of it, passing in the window, and then we're setting this as our manager event handler. That's all you have to do.
Right. And so from that, we're going to jump back into the render code, and we will query the animation manager. We're going to essentially get its status, and then we're going to look at the status, and if it's busy, we're going to generate invalidates, and if it's not, then we won't. So here, we should see an improvement in performance. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to compile this guy, and as we're compiling, let's make sure that we have our task manager up. We can look at the process here, and it's linking. All right, so we have our animation in, and let's see here. Let me dock this guy over here. So now, CPU, 0, and, well, our performance is, that's probably Visual Studio.
There we go. Now we're done.
There we go. So
the note that there were just two steps there. There was the fact that he only conditionally calls invalidate if there's something still happening in the animation manager. And then once you enter that state where animation has been switched off, we have to have that event manager registered so that the animation manager can give the application a little kick to say, okay, there's more stuff to animate, and that starts the rendering loop up again.
Right, correct. So now if I start moving this guy around, you'll see a change. But as I stop and let it settle down, it should go back down. So there we go. So I think now what Paul and I have in store for you is we're going to talk a little bit more about different types of parameters and the different types of transitions that we have to offer. So since it's all of our animation stuff is inside of the layout manager, let's go there. I'm already here. So specifically, we can look at the transitions that we use for X and Y.
We actually ship as part of the platform a little transition library. Applications can write their own as well. But we have a basic set of 12. Some of them are just very, very rudimentary, but some of them are some interesting effects. And what we've been showing so far is this, what we call accelerate-decelerate, which has a period where the animation's revving up to speed, and then you can have an interval where it's moving at a constant speed, and then it decelerates to a graceful halt. And so what are we going to show next?
We're going to show my favorite one is the parabolic one. So hopefully IntelliSense will be good to me. So this is the create parabolic transition from acceleration. And Paul, do you want to give kind of an explanation of the fun math involved with creating this interpolation?
Okay, sure. What we're doing here is, well, we're technically fitting together a couple of parabolas. But what that means is you provide a single parameter, which is the acceleration. And that doesn't specify whether you're accelerating or decelerating. It's the absolute value. And then we take into account the initial value and the initial velocity if your object's already moving when you start this transition. And then you actually supply as parameters a final value and a final velocity, although that can be zero if you just want to come to a halt. And from that, we steadily accelerate for a while or decelerate as necessary, and then maybe accelerate or decelerate in the opposite direction, and we'll end up at that location and at that velocity that you requested. And the interesting thing about this is that the duration of your transition is entirely dependent on these conditions. It could be instantaneous, it could take considerably longer if you give a slow enough acceleration, and so we expect application authors to tune this, but what's kind of neat is that once your application's up and running, then depending on whether an object has to move just a little bit or has to move right across the screen, it's the actual duration of these transitions is going to vary. And so we're going to see that with the different thumbnails in this photo grid having to travel different distances.
Yep, so let me compile this bad boy. And so hopefully when this guy comes in, you'll see a dramatically different transition. So as Paul was mentioning, the nice thing about the parabolic transition is that it's not based on a fixed time. So the objects are going to get to their current location when they want to based on their acceleration and final velocity. And so you can get these really nice, organic looking animations. And so when you start really moving stuff around, you get some really nice smooth animations. So yeah, this one's my favorite one. I like this one a lot. And so I think what we'll do is we'll just show linear. I think that'll be another one just to kind of
sure
demonstrate that, you know, we have basic transition support as well. So let me...
Yeah, our library has some very rudimentary things like an instantaneous transition and a constant transition, which just means hold something in a given location for a given time. And the idea is that these might be handy as you build up a very complex storyboard where you want to synchronize a lot of actions on screen at once, and maybe some things have to stay in place and some things you do just want to flip to a value. And in some cases, a lot of times linear gives sort of a robotic look, but sometimes it's going to be what you want, maybe if you're changing a color or something.
All right, so now we'll compile this. And so now you get that, as Paul was saying, that kind of that robotic look. And so as we start moving kind of fast, it's not as dynamic and interactive as the parabolic. But as Paul was saying, we do provide those rudimentary transitions for rudimentary UI animation.
And so note that in contrast to the parabolic transition, the linear transition doesn't take into account the initial velocity of your object. It only takes into account its initial position. And clearly you had to provide a duration, so everything happens with a fixed duration and they all begin and end at the same time.
Right.
So that's kind of a lead into our teaser for the next video. We're going to go into the more advanced features of this platform in a lot more detail in the next time we give a talk. We won't be focusing on code so much, but rather the ways in which we think this is going to allow you to do some fairly neat effects that as you build up more complex storyboards than you might with just a very simple API, we think it's going to lead to some some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. And the code sample is hopefully going to be up on the Microsoft Download Center so that you can actually download this and take a look at it and play with it. And hopefully we'll hear some feedback from you and let us know how the API works out. And we'll be seeing you next time. Thanks.
Thank you.